We continue our study of the Word of God in Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 1. Now, Zedekiah is an illustration of a believer who had to lose everything before he became positive toward doctrine. Jeremiah is the illustration of a believer who went positive toward doctrine and lost everything. We've seen one side of the coin. What is it going to take before you will become positive toward doctrine? Now there are people like Jeremiah who catch on without going through all that rigmarole. There are some believers who right from the start snap to doctrine. The first time they hear Bible doctrine, they say, "That's for me." And they never change. They never waver. They never deviate. Whatever growing pains they have in the Christian life, right from the start, it's doctrine all the way. Now, we can't say Zedekiah falls into that category. But Jeremiah does. Again, Zedekiah is the illustration of the believer who lost everything before he woke up. Before he became positive. Jeremiah is the illustration of the believer who became positive and lost everything. Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 1. The fall of Jerusalem is described at the end of chapter 39. The first deliverance of Jeremiah from the prison by Nebuzaradan is also described. And as we begin chapter 40, verse 1, we find that Jeremiah spent some time in the palace of Gedaliah in the northern part of the city. As a result of that famous conference over the gate, the great hall, the castle hall above the middle gate, as a result of that, in the northern part of the city, there was a palace. And in that palace, Gedaliah set up his provisional buffer state government. And when Jeremiah was delivered, he went to the palace of Gedaliah. And while he was there, he heard a rumor, which turned out to be a fact, that the Chaldean army, Army Group B, was going to have a one-day furlough. They were going to be permitted to plunder the southern part of the city. The Chaldeans were either bivouacked at Ramah, which was the headquarters, or in the northern part of the city. The southern part of the city was still a residence of all the women and children. The army deserted right out through the king's gate and gardens. Up here in a palace in the northern part of the city, Jeremiah is very relaxed and having a great time until he hears the message that on the next day, 9 July, the Chaldean army is going to break in to the southern part of the city. And for 24 hours, they can do anything they want to. They can rape, plunder, murder, torture. This is their day off. This is their furlough. This is a part of the way in which armies were paid in the ancient world. They were permitted to plunder. In fact, it is still used today, like what the Japs did in Nanking in World War II, or what the Russians did when they went into East Germany. The Mongolian Russian communists fill in the blanks. Now the Chaldean army is going to be paid off in this way. And as this Chaldean army is getting all lined up to tear through the gates and dash into this large southern section of the city, Jeremiah lies in bed, tossing and turning, and he begins to recall. He recalls his right woman, the woman for whom God designed to be his empty vessel, the woman he was designed to fulfill. To Jeremiah, the most beautiful, the most charming, the most wonderful woman in all the world. The woman whom he loved dearly and for whom he had this deep love for over 40 years. And he realized that somewhere down in the southern part of the city there, undoubtedly he knew the exact address, his right woman was to be one of the victims of the Chaldean army. Now when Jeremiah turned to doctrine, he had one of the greatest battles that anyone has ever had. Just to review something of that battle, hold the place here for a moment and turn to Jeremiah chapter 15. Scattered throughout this chapter are various verses on this great battle. Jeremiah was a very gregarious person and enjoyed good parties. His right woman was a very gregarious woman. And they made a great couple at all the parties. Everyone enjoyed having them. They were a lot of fun. And Jeremiah, when he began to realize the importance of doctrine, he became very positive. And he began to realize that parties and all of this social life that he had with the fast crowd wasn't worth it. And so in verse 17, he finally concluded, not in a prudish way, not in a self-righteous legalistic way, but because Jeremiah had a strong category one love based on doctrine. Verse 17, I sat not in the assembly of the fast crowd. The word mockers is the fast crowd. Why? Because in verse 16, thy words were discovered, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the inner happiness, the plus H, and the rejoicing of my right lobe. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. When Jeremiah became positive toward doctrine, new issues came into his life. Bible doctrine in his human spirit, the beginning of an edification complex of the soul, Bible doctrine in his right lobe began to change him. He used to have great fun with the fast crowd. Then one day I sat not in the assembly of the fast crowd. I didn't live it up. I didn't dance it up. I sat alone. The word rejoice in verse 17 means to dance, to have a ball. I sat alone because of thy hand. For when he filled him with doctrine, he also filled him with indignation. Indignation toward the superficialities of a social life of a people going to their own destruction. Now his right woman didn't like that at all. His right woman took an entirely different attitude. His right woman went along with the fast crowd. She didn't share his love for doctrine. She responded to him. For a while they had a fantastic love affair. And then, as he became stronger for doctrine, she began to phase him out. I guess she started out by late dating him. And then some of these tigers that she would meet at the party, but she wasn't dating them at the time, she began to early date. And pretty soon she was double and tripling in one day. and telling Jeremiah she had a headache, or she had to do this, or had to do that. And Jeremiah knew what was going on, so in verse 18 he said, by the way, some of you men look as though you've been there. Well, congratulations. At least you caught on. Why is my pain perpetual? Why is my wound incurable? It refuses to be healed. She refuses to be healed. She is right woman. And then he says to his right woman, she's not there. This is what he would have said had she not hung up on the telephone. Will you always be to me a deceitful brook whose waters, whose doctrine fails? She was going in one direction, he was going in another. They were ships that pass in the night. Right man, right woman. And early in his ministry, he made a decision. Bible doctrine is more important than the most perfect woman who ever lived. And that's what the right woman is to the right man. Here is an empty vessel that he could satisfy. Here was the woman who brought out the greatest in him. Jeremiah was a fantastic lover, for here was a woman he could fulfill. And he did not control his body, she did. She did not control hers, he did. They had great soul rapport. They had great physical rapport. It would have been the love of the century. Jeremiah might have wound up being the shepherd lover instead of the great prophet. But Jeremiah was positive toward doctrine. She was negative toward doctrine. And he didn't stand around like a jackass like Zedekiah. He stayed with doctrine. Now it hurt. The hurt is described in verse 18. He suffered in a terrible way as only a man who sees his right woman going to other men who could never fulfill her, who sees his right woman jumping from bed to bed, from man to man, from party to party. For his right woman became a party doll, and he became the great prophet, not only of that century, but one of the greatest of all time. So while she was wasting her soul and body on frivolous, useless men, and while she was selling her heritage of Category 2 love for a mess of pottage, some good time Charlie, some party here, there, and everywhere, Jeremiah stayed with doctrine. Doctrine today, doctrine tomorrow, and doctrine the next day, and doctrine the day after that, and more doctrine, and more doctrine, and more doctrine. With the result that in this same 15th chapter, we also have another important phrase. Verse 12. Remember that Jeremiah is not chronological, and chapter 15 is not chronological, but logical. Shall iron break northern iron and steel? Literally, shall Northern iron and brass break common iron? Common iron is Bible doctrine in the soul of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had iron in his soul from Bible doctrine. Jeremiah had an edification complex. And while his right woman was frivolously seeking to find happiness and having a mad scramble for pleasure and developing scar tissue on the right bank of her soul, Jeremiah, in his soul, was building up iron so that he would have the double portion. For God would provide through doctrine in a marvelous way. Category 1 love was going to be for Jeremiah a double portion. And as a part of that double portion, he not only had occupation with Jesus Christ, but he had iron in his soul. Now you remember this passage, and we'll be back. Turn now to chapter 40. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, after Nebuzaradan, the provost-marshal general, had released him from Ramah. How did Jeremiah wind up in Ramah? There are three groups of survivors from the fall of Jerusalem and the conquest of Judah. The Riblah group we have just studied under Zedekiah. These are the enemies of Chaldea who were tried and executed, or tried and imprisoned. Zedekiah belonged to this group. North of Jerusalem is the headquarters for the Chaldean army group B. That town is Ramah. 2 miles to the north and to the west is another town, Mizpah. Mizpah is to be the seat of the new government of Gedaliah. This is an ECS crowd. This is the young people's crowd that made the death march of Psalm 119. Suddenly we find in this group Jeremiah. But the last time we saw Jeremiah, he was in a palace in the northern part of the city. What caused him to be captured and taken to Ramah? Here's your answer. Jeremiah went into the city, the southern part of the city, and went to the home of his right woman and tried to save her life. After all these years, after all the terrible things that she had done, Jeremiah still loved her, didn't change, and he endangered his own life. The Chaldean soldiers who broke into her home didn't recognize Jeremiah. And the last she saw of Jeremiah, he was fighting to save her life. Now go back for one moment to Jeremiah 15. Verse 8. I will not give you the details of this passage, but I want you to get the drift of it. This verse, along with the next one, is a passage of violence. It is describing the Chaldean soldiers raping the women in the southern part of the city. These women are widows. Their husbands are dead. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas, helpless women in the southern part of the city. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler, a rapist at noonday. When the sun was overhead, the whole Chaldean army was on furlough in the southern part of the city. I have caused, not him, I have caused them, the Chaldean army, to fall upon her, not it, her, suddenly, and terrors upon the city, rape and torture. Here's a woman who endured childbirth 7 times. She that hath borne 7 languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down. At noonday, her son is gone down, while it was yet day. Now, here is the description of the death of Jeremiah's right woman. She has become, not hath been, she has become ashamed and confused. Here is a woman who gave herself to other men, in spite, in vindictiveness, in emotional revolt of the soul, mental attitude sins of revenge and bitterness and frustration. And she fornicated with anyone who would come along. She was a well-known nymphomaniac. She was seeking happiness and pleasure. She walked away not only from Bible doctrine, but she walked away from her right man. She has fornicated with hundreds of men Why would a little rape bother her? Because while she was being raped, Jeremiah was fighting to deliver her. And as she was being raped and looked and saw him trying to rescue her, she was hit with the most awful shame that could ever come to a woman. She had given up the cheap, the shoddy, the superficial wolves of the city for this great man. And this woman did not die from being raped, and she did not die from torture. She died in her soul. Her soul shriveled up when she saw her right man going down amidst the soldiers. They knocked him out. They captured him. They took him to Ramah. But when he was being overpowered, she died of shame. And that's actually what this says in the Hebrew. She was ashamed and confounded. Just that line. And the rest of them, I will deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. And this goes on to something else. Now, why was Jeremiah at Ramah when in the previous chapter he had been delivered from a prison in Jerusalem? He was in Ramah bound in chains because this is where the soldiers brought him after their day of furlough. When this woman was suddenly dead as she was being raped, the soldiers threw her body down in disgust. And they turned, and as they started to leave the house after looting it, they noticed Jeremiah lying in a heap there. He was knocked out. What'll we do with him? Put him in chains and we'll take him back to Ramah. That's the collection point for prisoners. And that's where he wound up. With a bump on his head, with a bad headache, in chains. Zedekiah had to lose everything before he realized how important Bible doctrine was. Jeremiah is the opposite. On the other side of the coin, Jeremiah realized how important Bible doctrine was, so that when, from her own free will, his everything, his right woman left him, he had iron in his soul. And Jeremiah and Zedekiah, both of them eventually wound up living in Babylon, and both of them lived tranquil, happy, wonderful lives. Zedekiah in his blindness, and Jeremiah with more doctrine than any man in his age. There are two sides to every coin. Now, what's it going to take before you get with Bible doctrine? And if you are getting with Bible doctrine, you will have many temptations to get away from doctrine, to get away from doctrine, to go back to something cheap and shoddy and superficial, to try to sell your soul for a mess of pottage. Stick to doctrine, because whatever the future holds, there will come a time in your life when there will be no comfort or solace or happiness from any human being or for any system in the devil's world. There will come a time in your life when the only thing that will carry you will be the iron in your soul. If you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are to face with strength and power and stability the days to come, then you must have iron in your soul before it's too late. Zedekiah went to his tragedy without iron in the soul and had a long road of recovery. Jeremiah faced his adversity with that iron in the soul and emerged, as you would expect, the greatest trophy of grace in the angelic conflict of the kingdom of Judah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying together the Word of God. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us from the things we have examined this evening, so that as we continue our study tomorrow, these things will fall in place, and we will recognize that great is thy faithfulness, and that the greatness of grace and the greatness of doctrine meet in iron in the human soul. And therefore may we be prepared for the days to come, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.